I think we all have to, at some point, admit that we are nowhere near perfect, especially in our relationships with one another. Both Jesus and the Apostle Paul have some significant things to teach us about our relationships and their importance. Jesus teaches us that we need to take reconciliation seriously. In today's culture, we're surrounded by broken marriages, shattered families, feuds between neighbors, and divided churches. We can refuse to face the facts, swallow our anger or resentment, cover over the cracks, and carry on as if everything is normal while seething with rage inside. Or we can simply avoid and ignore the other person or group and pretend that they do not exist. And usually the outcome to that is disastrous. Many Christians have taken cover over the cracks option, believing that this is what forgiveness means, pretending that everything is all right, that the other person hasn't really done anything wrong. My goodness, sometimes you have to take a stand. Simply will not do. If someone else, another Christian in particular, has been offensive, aggressive, bullying, dishonest, or immoral, nothing whatever is gained by trying to create reconciliation without confronting the real evil that has been done. Forgiveness does not mean saying it didn't really happen or it didn't really matter. In either of those cases, you do not need forgiveness. You just need to clear up your misunderstanding. Forgiveness is when it did happen and it did matter, and you're going to deal with it and end up loving and accepting one another again anyway. That's why Jesus, what he tells us here, is vital. First, go and see the person one on one. That needs courage. It also needs prayer and humility. The other person may well respond with a counter accusation, and there may be truth in it, which you need to recognize, though it certainly is not always the case that both sides are usually equally to blame. If that works, Jesus says that you've won over a brother or sister. Reconciliation often creates a closer bond than you had in the first place. But if it does not work, and if after thought and prayer you're still convinced that there is a wrong to be settled, take one or two others with you. You should choose people who are prepared to tell you some uncomfortable truths, if that's what's needed. And if you are in the right, but the person refuses to see it, they're your witnesses that you're not just making this up. Bringing two or three witnesses is based on Deuteronomy 17 and 19, on evidence. Jesus' third and final back step is to tell it to the church. That would then be the group that should be told about any confrontation that has remained unresolved. And now, friends, comes the hardest part. If someone still refuses to yield and be reconciled, they must be treated as an outcast. And you might ask yourself, what are the alternatives? There's real evil involved. Refusal to face it means a necessary break of fellowship. Reconciliation can only come after the problem has been faced straight on. We also need to remember that God's presence is with us always. Our actions on earth have an extra hidden dimension, the heavenly counterpart of what we do here. And when we pray together in Christian fellowship, we are therefore assured of being heard and answered. Most importantly, we always need to remember that this needs to be done with love. If we take that seriously, engaging in reconciliation, it still will be costly. But it will always be done in real hope, with joy waiting around the corner for those who persevere. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 tells us that at the forefront of all relationships must be love. But it needs to be genuine. There can be absolutely no lukewarm. You know what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3. He warns about being lukewarm and says as an example to the church in Laodicea, "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Revelation 3:16. It's a nice way of saying it. I don't know about you, but I don't want any part of being lukewarm, or wishy-washy, if you will. If it has got to do with God, then I want to be hot. If it's got to do with good, then I want to be hot. This goes hand in hand with the message of today's Holy Gospel from the Gospel of Matthew and the Epistle to Romans, in which Paul encourages us to live in harmony with one another, Romans 12:16. If you've got a problem with a friend or family member, time does not help if you let it simmer. Go to them in love. And if that doesn't work, Jesus gives us the proper prescription. This is not just for first century. My brothers and sisters, this is for now. This is for all time. Every time Jesus met with his apostles, especially after he rose from the dead, what did he give them? He offers them his peace, his shalom, showing an example of putting one's pride aside. And on more than one occasion, he told them, and he told us, to not only love God, but to love your neighbor as yourself. In last week's sermon, I asked, how can I love my neighbor when sometimes I don't even like him? If I really do not like someone, how can I love them? If I'm commanded to love them and try to act as if I do, doesn't that make me a hypocrite? Even worse, it's that Luke something or other. Wishy-washy, lukewarm. Let me tell you, there's a word, one of the three kinds of love that exist, agape, or unconditional love, takes thick skin and a whole lot of patience. Especially it means that people we can't see or even know. All of us have been faced with a dilemma since the middle of March, when suddenly churches, restaurants, and stores are closed, even hair salons. People were unable to interact with one another personally and were forced to wear a mask, wash our hands endlessly, and get hand sanitizer. Thank God it's available again. There was a period of time where it was either unavailable or they hiked the price up so high that you couldn't touch it. It's not fun or comfortable for many to wear a mask. But is the agape or unconditional love that leads us to do so? Caring for people other than yourself. The worst part of this pandemic is that it has cut off many personal relationships. And in some cases, it's become even stricter or worse. To travel to Pennsylvania from Georgia requires a 2-week quarantine before entering the state to protect others. And if you're driving from Georgia, you're going through a whole lot of states that have other regulations. People in New York and Pennsylvania are not happy with their governors for some of the things that they have been prescribing or commanding. I know personally, having our services open again, and even the blessed time of Holy Communion on the porch from 12 to 12:30 has opened up for many opportunities to be connected with their church community, We have something going on now that we never even thought was on the horizon. And that's our video ministry. Our video ministry opens up the opportunity for people who can't venture out of their house to go to Facebook or YouTube and be able to watch our services in entirety. Unfortunately, our GoPro went pro last week. It broke. So we're back to our old camera while GoPro is sending us a new one, warranty free. So it's a little more orange this week if you're watching this now, and I apologize for that. Maybe next week too, but GoPro will be clear and ready again soon. But I want to tell you, if you look, I could give you numbers of people that have joined us in worship with St. Andrews. It is unbelievable the people that can attend our services. Being connected with a larger church family has blessed even seeing friends at services. God's word and the faithfulness of St. Andrews has reached hundreds, and I'm not kidding, hundreds of people each week all over the world. And isn't that a blessing that you're a part of that? Our 15th Sunday together since Pentecost Sunday, and before that, Easter Sunday, 500 people were online watching the service. Of course, it was recorded with Marilyn, Ann, and myself on a Saturday so that we could get it to you at 10:30 on Sunday. But that wasn't, I kid the bishop sometimes and I said, this isn't what we signed up for. It's not. But God never leaves or forsakes. He gives the ability and the possibility and the opportunity for us to worship together. I pray for those churches in California that have been shut because they attempt to worship, because they attempt to sing and praise the Lord. Thank God we're in Georgia and we don't have such a situation. We're following all of the guidelines and doing everything that needs to be done, and more so. Hand sanitizer in every pew, every other pew closed off, people willing and blessing each other by wearing masks. Hundreds of people each week from all over the world. Far more than could ever fit in this building. No ushers have to bring extra chairs out into the aisles. We just have it online. And the vestry has said we're going to continue to do that. Praise the Lord. We as a church are presenting ourselves with love, peace, and faithfulness. Shut-ins who could not get into the building, could not normally come to church, have been attending and hearing the word of God, watching the faithfulness as if they are in the second pew. My friends, this is the kind of love that Paul is talking about. A genuine, caring love. To truly treat others as you would want to be treated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.